Well, go ahead and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to finish the end time events. And as I said, next week, it really wouldn't be like lesson 11. I just want you to think about the end times and think about the eternal state. And we're going to look at it in a weird way next week. We're going to look at what is not found in the eternal state and what is found in the eternal state. So we'll do that next week. This week, we're just going to sort of come to an end on our study of the end time events. You think about it, we've seen a flow of our study. Think about it, we've looked at the various views of the kingdom and tribulation. We talked about premillennial, postmillennial, amillennial. We talked about that. We talked about tribulation. We talked about Christ's first coming, his second coming. We talked about the rapture. We put all that together. We went and looked at Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, the 70 weeks of Daniel and how all that fit together. We talked about the eternal state and just mentioned about the new heavens and new earth. We talked about the great white throne judgment and the judgment seat of Christ and rewards. And we have a charge. The last time we met, because I've been gone for a couple of weeks and things, but the last time we talked, the charge was to be faithful as we wait for the return of Jesus Christ. So that's all the things we've been seeing all of this time. And this final lesson is more of an exhortation. And there's some places in 1 Thessalonians that you may not realize, but they're actually helpful for us to talk about not going through the tribulation. And we'll talk about it a little bit. So here's kind of the key. We always tell people to know and apply and teach. We want to know about the end times. We want to apply the Word of God so we can be comforted. And we want to teach the Word of God to others so others can understand it as well. So there's a lot there. When we think about the Bible, one of my heroes in the Bible is Paul. Paul the Apostle, he was known as the Apostle to the Gentiles. He wrote 13 letters in the New Testament, went on 3 missionary journeys, established numerous churches, touched millions of lives, both then and now. And we're wanting to look at a group that he dealt with called the church at Thessalonica. He came there on his second missionary journey, and he led people to Christ, and he taught them. In fact, what we find out is they only got to stay there maybe 3 to 4 weeks before he had to leave. And we realized that both from the first letter and the second letter that he wrote to them, he taught them about end time events. Now, we've heard people, we've talked about this before, that we've heard people say things like, well, you don't need to talk to new believers about end time things. They can't understand them. That's one of the things Paul taught the new believers is the end time events, how things fit together. So it's really important that we do that. We're going to look at a little bit of 1 Thessalonians, but we're going to put things together. I want you to remember the great truths that the first coming of Jesus Christ, he came as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. The second time he comes as the Lion out of the tribe of Judah to rule in righteousness and justice. And there's going to be in between that, he's going to come in the clouds to take us out, the church, which is the rapture. This is our end time flow that we always talk about. Here's the first coming of Jesus to die on the cross, pay for sin and rise again and ascend back to heaven. Here's the second coming of Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, set up a kingdom. In between these two comings, he's going to come in the clouds to take the church, the body of Christ, off the face of the earth. The 7-year tribulation is the final 7 years of the 490 years found in the book of Daniel. That's the tribulation for the nation of Israel, then the kingdom, and then the eternal state. And we'll talk more about the eternal state, a lot more details on the eternal state next week. But this letter he's talking about, he's going to come. In 1 Thessalonians, he's reminding them that Jesus is going to come in the clouds and come and get them. And he encourages believers. In fact, here's what I want to say. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 is an encouragement to these believers. Look at verse 6. Okay, you also became imitators of us. Paul is saying to the Thessalonians, you were imitators of us. They're going around telling the gospel message and of the Lord. You having received the word of God with tribulation and joy, with joy of the Holy Spirit. He said, wow, you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia, that's northern and southern Greece. Wouldn't it be great for somebody to say, this church is an example of the grace message in this whole part of the world? Wouldn't that be great? And that's what he's saying to the Thessalonians. He said, you're an example in northern and southern Greece, that whole part of the world. You're an example. And then he says, for the word of God came forth and has come forth from you and in every place and all of those kind of things. In fact, he says, you became an example for the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God is gone. He says, not only in this part of the world where you live, but it's spread out everywhere. And we have opportunities in our time that messages that we do here can go all over the whole world. because of the internet and because of the podcast, because of all those kind of things. And so it's even easier for us to get a message further out than it was for the Thessalonians. So it's really good. Now, here's what he tells, and watch this, because we're going to make application. He says, they report about what kind of reception we had with you. He says, they're telling about what all you've done. And then he lists three things. I'm going to read them for you. Here's the first one. How you turned to God from idols. Number two, how you to serve the living and true God. Number three, to wait for his son from heaven. So three things they did. And we want to think about what they did. First of all, they were an example of how believers were to live. The word of God is spread from them. And the first thing is they turned to God from idols. And they did. They had worshiped gods. And then when he came and told them about Jesus Christ, they turned to God from these idols. And they believed in Jesus and for the gift of eternal life. We say for us, well, we're not into idol worship or anything, but we have heard the message of Jesus Christ, and we turn from trusting in ourselves, saying, I'm going to try to be good enough to get to heaven, for us believing that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that he's the only way to have salvation, and we trust in Jesus. And so in the same way they turned from what they were believing to believe in Jesus, we turn from what we were believing to believe in Jesus. The second thing is, it said, they serve the living and true God. That's what it says, for you to serve the living and true God. Wow. And you could see what they did. It said the word of God is spread out everywhere because of the Thessalonians. I mean, they were pretty amazing people. What about application for us? We're to serve God. We must not only know that we have eternal life, but we want our lives to count for him now as we seek to serve him. In the same way that they turned from whatever they were believing to believe in Jesus, we turned to whatever we believe in to believe in Jesus. They then said that their lives were going to count for Christ, and they did that. We as believers, our lives ought to count for Christ. That's the thing. And then here's the third thing. They were waiting for Jesus to come from heaven. Notice what it says in verse 10, and to wait for his son from heaven. And so they were looking for Jesus Christ to come back. They knew he was coming. Now, here's the question. Are we looking for him to come back? What do we say over and over? It's closer than it's ever been. I mean, of course, you know, even if nothing was happening, it'd be closer than it's ever been. But the thing about it is we look around and there are all kinds of things out there that tell us, good gracious, we got to be close to the end. And so what do? We live our lives looking for the coming of Jesus Christ. The next event, as we know, he could come at any time. And so as the Thessalonians turned from whatever they were believing to believing in Jesus, we turn from whatever we were leaving to believe in Jesus. They then said their lives would count for Christ. We want our lives to count for Christ. They were waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. We're waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to finish the verse 10, because it has a point I want you to think about. Notice what it says. And to wait for his son from heaven. Okay, that's it. And whom he raised from the dead. Okay, we go, that's fantastic. That is Jesus. Now watch the rest of the verse. Who rescues us from the what? The wrath to come. What's the wrath? What's the wrath to come? The tribulation. Exactly. What's going to happen? How is he going to rescue us from the wrath to come? He's going to take us out. Exactly. And so when you look at this passage, it actually says at the very first of Thessalonica, or the letter to the Thessalonians, that at very first part, he says, talking about Jesus who was raised from the dead, who will rescue us from the wrath to come. There's a verse right there, without even talking to all the Daniel part, not even talking about 1 Corinthians and all, talking about any of those. There's a passage that says we're not going through the wrath. He's going to rescue us from the wrath to come. Okay, so that's really powerful. Now, there's more, because this letter is powerful, and so he wants to highlight that. And if you flip over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we see what we often call the passage of the rapture passage, where Jesus is going to come back. And I'm just going to read a little bit of it until we get down verses 13 through 18, but I'm going to read a little bit until we get down to verse 16. But just listen. He says, we don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep. Some people had told the Thessalonians that when a believer died before Jesus came back, they'd probably be left. And they thought, wait a minute, Aunt Mary passed away and Jesus hadn't come back yet. And somebody told them that when Jesus came in the clouds, they would be taken off, but poor Aunt Mary would be left. And so He says, I wanted you not to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep. Those have already died. So you won't grieve, okay? For since we believe Jesus died and rose again, and we do, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Wait, they're coming. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain till the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Listen, they're going to actually go before us. And that's where we get to verse 16 and 17, where he says, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And guess who's going to rise first? The dead. Aunt Mary is going to rise first. You don't have to worry. She's going to go. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them. Now where? In the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we always be with the Lord. This is the rapture. This is us being taken out. He says very plainly that the people who have already died as believers, and think about it, going all the way back 2,000 years ago from all the people in the first century who believed in Jesus, they've died, their bodies are in the grave, all the way up to right now, all of the people who have believed, whose bodies are in the grave, when Jesus comes in the clouds with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, their bodies will be raised immediately to meet them in the air. Their bodies are, they've been with the Lord, but their bodies are in the ground, and their bodies are going to be raised up, and then we in the twinkling of an eye will be changed. It says we who are alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so it's going to happen in the moment of a twinkling eye in the clouds. This is not on the earth. This is the rapture. And then he says these great words, therefore comfort one another with these words. And so when you think about the end times, when you think about it, Paul wrote just in the letter to the Thessalonians that he's going to save us from the wrath to come, and the dead are going to be raised first, and we're going to all be up there with him. And he's taught about the rapture. Now from there he's going to teach another aspect, and that's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let me put this up here. It's called the day of the Lord. Notice what he says. Now as to the times and epochs, brothers, you have no need of anybody to write to you. See, some people had written to them and said, you missed the rapture. They said they missed the rapture. Some of the people in Thessalonica thought, we missed the rapture because we got a letter from somebody saying the rapture already happened. And of course, the person who wrote the letter, obviously, maybe they missed it too. But anyway, who knows? And they says, we don't need anybody to write you. He says this, for you yourselves know full well the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. The day of the Lord starts with the rapture. The day of the Lord actually starts at the rapture, goes all the way through the tribulation, and actually ends at the end of the kingdom. That's called the day of the Lord. It's not a particular one day. It's a whole event. And so he writes and says, look at this. He says, I don't want you to be all upset about this. And then verse 9, look what he says. And this is a comfort for us. 9, 10, and 11. Look what he says in verse 9. For God has not destined us for what? For what? For wrath. What's the wrath? That's the tribulation. God's not destined us for the wrath, but obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you have to understand something, that we're not destined for wrath because wrath is the tribulation. We're destined for salvation. He's not talking about eternal life salvation. He's talking about salvation from the wrath, from the tribulation. Let me read it again. God has not destined us for what? Wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. What salvation is that? That's a physical deliverance. You remember we said that the word salvation can mean a physical deliverance. It can mean some victory over an enemy. It can mean just eternal life salvation. It can mean Christian life salvation. It can mean future salvation. In this passage, he's talking about a physical deliverance. You will be physically delivered so you will not go through the tribulation. That's what he says. God has not destined us for wrath, tribulation, but for obtaining salvation, deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not talking about eternal life salvation. How many times I've had people come up to me and says, yeah, this is eternal life salvation. I said, no, it's not. Look at the flow of the passage. What's he talking about? He says, some people are asleep, some people get drunk, some people, he's talking about this. And then he says in verse 10, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, whether we're alive or dead, we will live together with him. Because in this passage, he's talking about sleeping being dead or alive. Some people look at the passage, talking about awake or asleep. Some people actually say awake means those who are looking for him or not, but anyway, it doesn't matter. I think awake or sleep here means those who are living and those who are dead. Either one, Jesus Christ is going to come get us, whether we're already dead or still alive. And then look what he says in verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another. Wow. And build up one another as just so you are doing. And so he says, encourage one another. So I said, there's awake or sleep, living or dead. That's what I think that is. And then he says, therefore, encourage one another. Let me ask you a question. Are you encouraged when you realize Jesus Christ could come at any second and take you off the face of the earth? And then after that, there will be a tribulation time period and the 144,000 and the Antichrist and the idol in the temple and then Jesus coming back and you're coming back with him. Does that encourage you that you won't be a part of that stuff on the earth? It does. How many people have you ever talked to? I've talked to people and they're afraid and they'll come up to me and they'll say, well, the only thing I'm afraid of is I don't want to take the mark of the beast and I sure don't want to have to be there and all that. I said, well, who said you're going to be there? If you believed in Jesus for the gift of eternal life, the church is raptured out. And see, there are people who teach that, and we talked about it when we went through the tribulation, that we said that there are some people who will what we call pre-trib. That's us, pre-tribulation. We believe we'll be taken out before the tribulation. But there are people who actually think the church goes through the tribulation. And they'll say something like this, it's for the purification of the church. No. The tribulation is for the Jewish people, not for the church. And you've got to understand that there is a plan for the Jewish people, and there's a plan for the body of Christ. And the Jewish people had 490 years, and they've used up 483. The body of Christ, we don't know how many years we have, but one of these days we're going to be gone, and then it goes back to the Jews. So the tribulation is not for the church. The tribulation is for the nation of Israel. We should all be comforted, saying to ourselves, we know that we're not going to go through the tribulation. And what does 1 Thessalonians tell us? We're going to be delivered from the wrath to come. That God is not designated by the wrath, but obtaining salvation. We see it over and over again. Encouragement. Look at this. 2 Peter, grow in the grace and what? Anybody know? Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. I've talked to people, and they'll say something like this. They'll say it about themselves. They'll say, well, I'm no Bible scholar. And I say, why not? Why aren't you a Bible scholar? You got the book, and it's in English, right? So you could read it, and you can understand it. And if you can't understand it, there are some people you can go to and ask them, or you can read books. Can we all understand Scripture? Is it so far above us that only a select few can know the Bible? Every one of us in this room can know the Scripture and understand it and put it together. And one of my roles as a pastor teacher is to teach you, to help you grasp it and understand it, help you put it together so you can turn around and teach other people. That's what it's all about. So we are to grow. We are to teach. 2 Timothy 2:2. Take what we've been taught and trust it to other people. We're to encourage one another as long as we see the day approaching. So we see that over and over again. So there's just such great stuff here. And so I want to encourage all of you that right now, let me tell you, if you understand that Jesus died on the cross, paid for sin, rose again, ascended into heaven, and you understand we're in the church age, and you understand there's a rapture coming, and you understand there's a 7 years time period in there for the Jewish people, and there's going to be an Antichrist and a 10-king federation and all the judgments, and then if you understand Jesus can come back and set up a kingdom and rule for 1,000 years, and then if you understand there's a great white throne judgment after that, if you know that, you know more than 98% of all the people in the world. Because most people don't know any of that. Almost every denomination is amillennial, which means they believe none of the things I just said. And so most people in those churches have no idea about end times. And when you say end times, they say, well, you can't know them. Or it's not. There's no such thing. Or the next event is Jesus coming back and that's the end of everything. Because that's what they're taught. So listen, if you know what I just said, you know more than 98% of the people in the whole world. As far as end times events and how the Bible fits together. So you know a lot. You just don't know you know a lot, but you do know a lot. And you know a clear grace message of salvation. Am I right on that? Yes. And you don't compromise it. And you're not going to change it at all. And you know the salvation is a gift by faith alone and Christ alone for eternal life. And you're saved and saved forever. I had a young guy talking to me the other day, been about a month ago. And he said, I believe you could lose your salvation. I said, really? So you could lose your salvation? Yeah. I said, so you don't know if you're saved? And he went, well, I think I'm saved. I said, well, you don't know, because if you could lose it, that means somewhere down the road, 5 years from now, 2 years from now, 2 weeks from now, you could do something and you could lose it. So you don't know really if you are saved or not. He went, well, no. And I said, listen, when you believe, what do you get? And he actually said it, you get eternal life. I said, how long does that last? And he didn't want to say eternally, because he knew that if he said that, then it means you can't lose salvation. But he said, well, it lasts forever, but you can still lose it. I said, then you didn't have eternal life. So are we ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us and these kind of things? We should be able to do that. So the ultimate goal is to be found faithful in all these things. So as we get ready to get to the end and go to our grow group time, let me put this up again. Okay, there it is, y'all. And that, we look at that and we laugh at that and we go, here's our little, you know, we got a card and we hand it out and we say, this is the end time events. And you don't understand that if you go to almost any other place, they're not going to, not only do they not know this, they don't believe any of this. Most people believe, and when I say most people, let me tell you to say this, the average person going to church don't even know what they believe. You understand that? The average person going to church doesn't have a clue of what they believe. Most people going to church can't even present the gospel and what they believe for salvation. You understand that? Start asking people what they believe for salvation. You'll be surprised. They can't tell you what they believe. I hope every one of you in this room could tell exactly what you believe for salvation. And so when you start talking to people, you're going to find that most people don't know what they believe, not only for salvation, but they have no clue about the Bible and how it fits together. And when you talk about end time events, if they've ever been taught anything, it is Jesus came the first time. He will come a second time. When he comes the second time, there'll be a great white throne judgment and be the end of everything. So there is no rapture, there is no tribulation, there is no second coming, there is no thousand-year reign of Christ. There's none of that. They just don't believe that. And most people not only don't believe that, they've never been taught that, so they don't even know what to believe. So you have a great opportunity to help your friends and neighbors and people to understand how the Bible fits together, that Jesus came and died on the cross to pay for sin and rose again. And at that point, that was the 483rd year of the what? 490 years that God gave to the Jewish people. We call that the 70 weeks of Daniel. They've used up 69 of those weeks. They got 1 week left, which is 7 years. And this is us, and we're going to be here until Jesus comes and gets us. And as we've talked many times, that there are no signs for the rapture. There are many signs for the second coming. That's the whole tribulation, basically, of the signs of the second coming. There are no signs for the rapture, but there are things that are happening in our world that tells us we are closer than we probably could ever imagine. If you go back, let's go back 100 years. There was no Israel. So if the rapture happened 100 years ago, there's no Israel to make a peace pact with. 100 years ago, there's no way that anybody could put something under your skin that you could buy or sell. There are all those there's the alignments, there's the nation of Israel, there's things that have lined up that we go, wow. I mean, you realize that Russia, Iran, and Turkey have aligned, and that's Ezekiel 38. In Ezekiel 38, those three countries come together to attack Israel. Well, they just aligned. You go back 50 years, they weren't aligned. So so the bottom line is, we could be gone any second, right? Okay, yeah, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we'll always be with the Lord. Comfort one another. And so after we're gone, we don't know. Just remember this, the rapture does not begin the tribulation. The tribulation begins with the peace pact that the Antichrist makes with the nation of Israel. And that starts the 7 year. That's why we don't connect these here. But the bottom line is, one of these days, we're going to be gone, and there's going to be all kind of turmoil on the earth. There's going to be a man come to power. He's going to make a peace pact with Israel. It'll last for 7 years. And halfway through, he'll break the peace pact, claim to be God. There'll be the great tribulation. Nation of Israel will believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and that the Messiah. They, as a nation, will believe in Jesus Christ. He came the first time. What did they say? Crucify him. The second time he comes, he's not asking anybody. He's coming. The nation of Israel is believing in him. They call upon the name of the Lord. He comes back, sets up a kingdom, rules for 1,000 years. At the end, there's a final rebellion. Then there's the great white throne judgment. Unbelievers, the books are open. The books of Acts, the books of deeds are open. Their names are not found written in the book of life. Cast into the lake of fire. Everybody from the Old Testament, from the church, tribulation, kingdom, we're all going into the eternal state. And so next week, we'll talk about what's not in the eternal state and what is in the eternal state.